What's going on, y'all?
Yeah, we here. You know, the fellas always late, but that's all right.
I mean, can they get it together?
No.
Can they get it together? So, Valerie in the light-skinned dress said he is on the way. I don't know if we're going to get Leslie, but I guess we'll see.
Leslie's in Vegas. Is he still in Vegas?
Yeah, he might be on that West Coast time.
I did not know he was in Vegas. Okay.
He was. Yes. You know how he tries to be incognito, so I saw.
Well, I would say that he probably is not going to show up tonight then.
Right, because he's severely hungover. Or he'll show up with his red cup. Hey, Mal, it's not ladies' night. The fellas are just running on CP time.
Mm. So, y'all want to just go ahead and get into it? Season 3, episode 4, and now his watch has ended. This was a pretty good episode.
Yeah.
Kick us off.
Well, what I'll say is that from the last episode, from episode 3, there was a lot of setup that's going to pay off in this episode. And that's what makes this episode so exciting, especially the end, because we're like waiting on something. We're waiting on something and we finally get it in this episode at the end.
Facts.
So we can start where it starts. We can start with Jamie's rotting hand. Oh my God.
That's cold. How'd you make a mofo ride around with his hand hanging around his neck?
It's right there, so you can imagine how it smells.
And it looks fairly fresh, so it's like the next day, but yeah.
Oh God, that just made my stomach turn.
Oh, sorry.
What I don't understand is why that guy, I can't remember his name.
Locke.
How's he not afraid of Tywin?
Because he works for Bruce Bolton. Who's actually going to be worse? Tywin Lannister or Bruce Bolton? Who's going to get the lock if Locke doesn't follow the
rules? That's true.
That's a toss up. Well, I guess he was more afraid of who could get their hands on him the fastest, which would be Bolton.
Right. Well, it won't be Jamie because he ain't got but one. So.
Oh, Jamie.
Straight bullet.
I don't like Jamie, but that's
5 minutes in. 5 minutes in.
Right. We already starting with the what?
Straight.
Wait, did y'all catch how the man low key joked him about messing with Cersei?
It's a well known hand possibly had been. Yeah.
Oh God. Brienne tried to help him. She felt bad for him.
Yeah.
But the only thing I could keep thinking the whole scene was, how was he not sick from infection? Because he all out there in the mud.
Right.
All they had over that wound was like a cloth. So it was getting dirty.
Yeah.
It was probably barely wrapped up just enough to keep the blood in his arm so that he didn't bleed out. But
I wonder if they cauterized it maybe and they just didn't show it, you know?
I will say that question is answered in the next episode, in episode 5.
Oh, yeah, because I don't remember. It's like really watching this series for the first time. There's some things I know are going to happen, but there's things I don't remember. Like, there's a scene later in this episode when we get to it, I'll call it out, that I did not remember at all. So, actually, it's in the next scene if we want to move on to,
know
how I'm going to say it. What I call it?
Virus.
Bird. Bird. Uh-oh, we got Larry in the light skin dress that he is having technical difficulties. Mm. So I guess he will be on soon.
With his boot or with his internet?
With his internet, I think.
Wow. you know, so, we got this under control. So,
so when are you ladies go ahead and talk about what happened in this next scene with Verse?
You want to take it, Your Grace?
No, you got it.
Okay. So then we go back to King's Landing and we're talking to, or we're seeing Varys, and Tyrion. Okay. So Tyrion starts asking Varys about, you know, Cersei's plans, what he's heard, because he's the new master of Coin and he doesn't have any spies like he does or like Littlefinger did. Mm-hmm. And Varys is going around this crate and he's doing stuff to it. And he's just talking like, la, 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 you know.
But and what is he talking about? What is he telling us about?
Talking about, well, first he was, you know, talking to Tyrion about that situation. And then he started talking about his own situation, about when he was a boy and he was an actor. And his the leader of the troop sold him to a local sorcerer when they were in Mere, and how he got cut and why he is minus a few things. So,
and he was cut off in this episode.
But yeah, there was a lot of cutting up, but that's another story for another time. So he relates the tale of how he became a eunuch and that he hates magic because of this, because the man threw his parts, his stem and two beans in the fire and said this incantation. And then he doesn't know who spoke back. He was like, it could have been a demon. I don't know what it was, but the flame turned blue and somebody spoke back. So I've hated magic ever since. And so he's like, and as I came, you know, up through from that experience, because he threw me out to die, I came up, I got myself together, you know, I had to sell what I had so that I could, you know, raise my level. And now I'm on the council, the small council of King's Landing. And he said, influence grows like a weed. Mm-hmm. And Tyrion is like, okay. Tyrion's like, mm-hmm. And he's getting more and more. This is one of the few times where Tyrion is speechless and horrified. You can see his eyes are open so wide, you can see to the back of his head.
Right.
That's a, so when Varys opens this crate that has air holes in it, it's the sorcerer who cut him when he was a child. And he is toe up from the flow up and broke down.
Mm. Mouth sewn shut.
Yeah.
I mean,
bad.
It was really interesting. Number one, we finally find out why he got cut.
Yeah.
But then how he's telling, I'm about to call him Littlefinger, Tyrion, this story. So that Tyrion understands how long he will wait to get some get back. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't immediate. It's not an immediate game, Tyrion. You got to be smart and make some moves and get. I came from nothing and now I have enough influence to go back and get the man who did this to me.
Right. So I thought that influence grows like a weed. I put that one down too, because he's really trying to teach Tyrion, like, just grow your influence first and then you'll get all the revenge that you want.
It was very interesting, and that's the part that I do not remember the first time through. I don't remember him having this man in this crate with his mouth sewn shit looking crazy. Maldon had a good
conversation, but I don't remember the man in the crate because Tyrion was trying to get, you know, find out what he could do to, you know, save his hide and get what he needed to get.
Well, I thought
I want the media to get back to Cersei.
Yeah.
Well, it was ironic that he had the sorcerer in the crate and then he ends up putting Tyrion in a crate too. So,
But that actually saves Tyrion's life.
Right. For a different reason.
For a different reason. Yeah.
Yep. Anybody got any comments on what Mal asked? Because that's an interesting question. Does anyone?
Oh, okay. So I know this one.
So it's not just me. Okay.
No, their urethra is still intact when they actually lose.
Damn, you popped in at the wrong time.
I don't even want to fuck with you no more.
So
it's talking about urethras and shit.
It's very messy, and it smells very like a homeless camp, because you kind of
you said a camp.
It goes everywhere. So
homeless camp.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, they still do.
Okay.
Or I'm assuming we still. So I'm assuming we're talking about Verz getting his dick and balls cut off.
Yeah.
Yes, we just went through the whole
glad I missed that.
Way that story was revealed and the
that was irony. Why I had that nigga in that crate, wasn't it?
Wait, what?
Facts. That's how I listened. I was in the back room like urethra.
I saw your face. That's why I added you to the screen right there.
Woo!
Oh god.
Okay, so now that we've gotten this bonding moment with Verz and Tyrion, and Verz teaches Tyrion a little lesson, then it goes on to the Night's Watch out there still at Craster's house.
Yeah, and back to Craster's creep.
Blaring
coming in after cleaning up that shit. The boys out there was tired of that shit. They was cold, they was hungry, they was eating bread with sawdust in it, they was sick of it. So you kind of see you can see the writing on the wall there. So you kind of knew what was coming. I don't know though, even though, like I said, watching it for the first time, I think even listening and hearing how disgusted they were with what was going on, I didn't foresee everything that would come, a little bit later in the episode. All that shit was wild, but you could tell them, boy, they were sick of it. They were sick of it. And then you got to think about the men of the Night's Watch, especially the ones that were the most disgruntled with the shit. They were the rapists. They were the thieves. They were murderers anyway. So, like, they were really just men of the Night's Watch to escape whatever penalty they would have got back home. So,
yeah. But so actually, thugs. They were still
thugs. Dang it, fuck.
I actually looked at it this time a little different from the point of view. I realized that probably third rewatch about them being sick of it. And then thinking about what the Night's Watch is made up of. It's not made up of honorable men. They're literally the bottom of the barrel. However, if the Night's Watch wasn't there, then the women would be the ones doing all of that. And that's their lives day in and day out. So while I was happy Christ or not, I'm sorry, I was. I was actually happy that the Craster's daughters, granddaughters / aunties, nieces, got it. So I'm glad they got a break for a few weeks or however long.
Yeah, until them niggas took over and started having rape parties.
Yeah,
we ain't got there yet.
Craster Peen versus which one is
right? Which one is worse? God, dog.
Tomato, tomato.
So they throw Bran in there real quick. That really didn't have any bearing throughout the episode.
Just let me say this to Valerian. There's only one Craster, so yeah, they could pass that shit around and be like, "Oh no, bitch, it's your turn."
Yeah. Thank you, Dick.
And he was old as Jack, so.
Yeah. Thank you. What that boy called him? We ain't got that yet. I'll wait on it.
So they throw Bran in there real quick. It was nothing really monumental that came from that section, other than he had another dream with the three-eyed raven.
Yeah, I think they just more than anything they're just foreshadowing the connection between he and Jojen and their green seeker thing going on. But like right now, is that like? Is he in like training? Is Jojen like training him how to like control his dreams or teach him what he's seeing or some shit like that, or was he just having another random dream in this moment?
Oh, I think Jojen is training him.
Is it? Yeah, like was it like a training type of thing? Where he was like teaching him, like, hey man.
Oh my god, Samantha.
She could wait.
Is she still in the box? Is she still in Varys's box? I mean, well, Varys ain't got a box.
No, she talking about Craster got lice.
Okay.
I believe
it.
He definitely has lice. I agree 1,000%.
Some of these other things that are creepy crawlies still.
Facts.
Okay, so let's move on to Varys and Littlefinger's top.
Bottom. Hey, you know what you're mad about that shit? Hey, what? That nigga Varys looked at that shit and said, bitch, hoes can't read. Oh, a whore that can read. Oh, that nigga know he be throwing that shade, dog. Like, bro,
and she said, I don't do necessary. That no more.
Right. Like, Varys, that wasn't even necessary, dog. Man, bitch, you can read. Damn, how lovely of you, a whore that can read. Damn.
Wait, and then he was all in there, all surprised about Podrick, and he's like, so Podrick was in here putting it down like that?
He was really laying it down. What did he do? What the hell did he do? Whatever Pod did, you can't do it, my boy. You don't have the required parts.
Why would he set himself up for that, though? Facts. Like, that's when she should have been like, why?
What about the part?
Pod to talk of the whole house, though. How is Pod to talk of the whole brothel? He got everybody.
To the point they ain't even take the money.
Man, Pod probably good in there anytime. Pod probably just walk in there and walk out served.
And she made a point to say he wasn't like exceptionally large or anything.
But Pod, motion of the ocean, motion of Blackwater Bay.
So
maybe he read a book.
Man, a couple of them.
So this is the Varys says to him, I mean to her, he's like, so how Littlefinger feel about not getting his coins? And she like, oh, well, he was too busy to even notice. So that's when they get into the whole conversation about Sansa and the fact that she thinks he's going to take Sansa with him. Mm-hmm. They go through all of that to figure out how that can play out. But this was the funny part. When he said something about, well, he could have a bed for one of his hoes. And she was like, no, he don't roll like that. He don't get high off his own supply.
So, he's like, how you know what he do with his girl? I'm one of the girls, nigga.
I used to be a working girl, but now I'm in management.
Thanks.
Right. Who's in charge of the girls?
I'm the ace boom coon.
That's right.
I am in charge of the girl.
I am in charge of the girl.
So, I'm an honest hoe, and my hoes are honest too.
Oh, Lord. Their little banter was cute to me, and I thought it was interesting to watch how he interacts with his spiders, as
Roz,
they call them.
Wait a minute. Samantha, somebody read that.
Just say Crass's women. Crass's women need a pod after having to deal with the lice infested crypt keeper.
Lord Jesus.
She on one night. I knew she was coming with that fire tonight because she missed last. She missed the live last week. So I already knew
she missed last week.
She coming with that fire.
So now, are we ready to move on?
Hey, real quick, we moving on. But before we move on, did anybody catch the spoiler in the next scene?
In the next scene with
Joffrey and Marjorie. Did anybody catch the spoiler? Like a monumental huge. Spoiler for not Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon spoiler. Did anybody catch the
House of the
Dragon? Yes.
Y'all caught the House of the Dragon spoiler?
Yeah.
I want to give them time in the comments. Anybody out there watching, did y'all catch the House of the Dragon spoiler from Joffrey to Marjorie? I'm talking about huge spoiler. Huge. Like if you don't want to know how fucking House of the Dragon ends, don't go back and watch it because I'm talking about.
Now I got to rewatch the episode because I don't think I caught it.
You ain't.
I did.
I was about to say you have to listen almost twice because sometimes I know I do it, when Joffrey talks, I kind of tune out because it's like, nigga, I don't want to hear nothing you saying.
Right.
Huge House of the Dragon spoiler. I mean, I read the book, so I know it. And then, of course, when the show came out, you know, there was no House of the Dragon, so it wasn't like it was a spoiler at the time. But if you don't want to know how House of the Dragon ends, don't listen to that shit that little nigga said tomorrow. Yeah.
So that was Vhagar huge. That's how huge.
Vhagar motherfucking huge. Balerion huge.
So which I'm now sure we, was not the intent because they didn't know they
were. I won't even say it. But if you saw it, if you heard it, you know you heard it. I won't say it because I don't want to ruin it for anybody else if they didn't catch it or if they don't want to hear it. But huge motherfucking spoiler. Like right as soon as the fucking scene starts, that's the first thing Joffrey says to Martin. It's like, damn, nigga.
It didn't register until y'all said something. Because I'm like, Your Grace, I start tuning Joffrey out because I really don't want to hear what he got to say. But now it dawns on me now. Oh, crap. Okay. I need
to go. My God. Oh, my God.
Woo, I think Samantha Wooten is going to win the Nigga Shit Award tonight.
She won it. That comment won. You didn't even have to do, my girl. You didn't even have to do that.
Oh God!
Damn, Ray Ray. All right, move right along, cause shit, I can't do this right now.
So now we're back in King's Landing with Joffrey and Magic Marjorie doing her thing.
That's a good name for her.
Ain't she doing her thing? She playing the part.
Cersei can't stand it.
She is doing the hocus pocus, the Santeri. She's putting it all on Joffrey, okay? He don't even see it coming. But as Olenna and Cersei are talking, Cersei's like watching them and trying to talk to Olenna. And like, yeah. You ain't got no...
See, Marjorie is seducing Joffrey in a way that we didn't think he could be seduced. Like, she found a way to say, and it has zero to do with anything sexually. She is stroking his ego in a manner that his ego has not been stroked by his mother, by his father, tied with, like, and the way she is so masterful. And, like, it's funny because, like, every time she's doing the shit, she's smirking. It's almost like she's getting your dumb ass again. There she goes. And his ass, he looking back at her like a little fucking
puppy. He's eating it up.
She's fucking with a nigga. Then I'm like, man, put your little lame ass down.
Yeah. Hey, she really got him when she said, hold on, where is it? Severity is the price we pay for greatness.
Facts. Bitch, I am great. You know what?
I thought for a moment he was going to turn on her when they go outside and the crowd is screaming her name. Yeah. But then they start screaming his name and he joins in. So I think it was almost like that moment in House of the Dragon.
Yeah.
When I can't even remember his name now, but he gets on stage and he don't really want it until they start screaming his name. Then
tell like Joffrey's not used to being loved, and his rule to this point is all about fear. Fear me. So like to see that, all I gotta do is go out here and show these people my face.
Let's talk about a little murder, and he's happy.
But that shows you, like, he again, that just shows you how Marjorie was seducing him with that a different way to power. She was showing him it was a completely different way to obtain and sustain his power over the realm.
Did y'all peep how she looked back before they walked out? Like, she
she looked at Cersei,
She wants to make sure Cersei was paying attention.
Look, bitch. I
got a bitch. She knows was eating Cersei up. She knows it.
And she be throwing a little slick shade too. Like when she a little bit later in the episode, she always throwing a little slick shade at Cersei. Yeah.
That's what I love about this scene, that Cersei is continuing to lose her grip on Joffrey while Magic Marjorie is continuing to Python curl him in her coils.
And please believe Marjorie probably had baskets of fruit given out and said, oh, this is from King Joffrey right before. She knows what she's doing. She said, here's some 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread. Now y'all show up because we're going to come out and say hi.
And right. then, I mean, and you got to think about who gave Marjorie the game. We're talking Olenna Tyrell. You know what I'm saying?
So she learned from the best.
She has been trained from 21 Jump Street to be a queen. Not, she's been trained to be the queen. Like she said, she hasn't been trained to be a queen. She's been trained to be the queen.
The queen.
And like, but in every facet of taking on that role, she embodies that. Like she probably the best queen that we saw throughout this entire series. If you really go back and think about the history of the queens, I mean, you could throw Khaleesi in there. You could talk Cersei, obviously. You can go all the way to House of the Dragon with Rhaenyra. But when we talk like just benevolence and queen and what you should uphold, she's probably the best one that we've seen on the screen.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. All right, we ready to move on?
Who we at? Where we at now on Dumbass?
Bolton.
Yes.
We on old Dumbass, ain't old Bolton Dumbass Theon.
This is a whole, this is a level of petty that, like, you got to, I don't even know how to describe this level of petty.
Nigga went through extreme lengths.
This is diabolical level petty.
To fuck with that boy, just to fuck with him.
Just to fuck with him. You for no other reason.
You didn't have to do none of this stuff.
You didn't have to do nothing. You already had him tied up.
You could have kept him in there tied up and been, just kept fucking him up. You gave the nigga hope and took it, like, got him in there confessing. And I like to see it because, you of course, it's in these scenes where we see a lot of Theon's arc and his character development. The biggest thing that I liked from Theon, though, in that moment was the confession about his real father dying at King's Landing. I think that's when we really see Theon, who he really is, and him finally accept the fact that, yes, I was a captor of Winterfell, but these people really did raise me right. I embodied their values, and this is why my father doesn't want me. But this nigga, why is this nigga? Why is this nigga in the comments?
Is it Paris?
Why is this nigga in the comments, bro?
I thought you was in Vegas, Leslie.
Oh man, bet something, nigga.
She's right at the bar right now.
Clickety clickety clack, nigga.
Okay, yeah, Leonard Washington, damn.
This was some old diabolical. I mean, you sneaking around, y'all. You got him ducking down, telling him to be quiet.
But yeah, damn, at no point in this, here, like, Theon has no sense of direction in anything.
None.
So, like,
none, y'all.
I get it. Like, yes, the North is vast, but you grew up in the North. Like, I know you're not at Winterfell, this nigga.
You know that, Leslie.
Nigga, I'm drunk. I'm sick of Leslie asking these fucking comments. Oh, but it's just like, nigga, you have no sense of direction. Like, you don't understand that he's literally taking you back the same way that you came from. Yeah, it may be a different entrance to the castle, but, like, you don't have no sense of where you are yet. All right, nigga.
It might not even be so much no sense of where you are. It is, I think it's more, I'm so caught up in my own crap. Yeah. I'm not even paying attention.
That's all he was talking about. Oh, me. And then Ramsay steady stroking his ego. Oh, I grew up on Pike, but I was a lord, but I was there the day that they took you and all this shit. So, he's doing a good job of stroking his ego in that moment. Theon just eating it up.
He's making sure he don't have a reason to pay attention.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And I didn't realize until this episode, until this rewatch, that I knew Theon had outed that he didn't kill the Stark boys.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize he had done that before he knew who Bolton was.
Yeah.
Until this episode.
And I think too that was strategic on Ramsay, because that was all just a part of breaking Theon. Mm-hmm. That was all a part of turning him into this pet, or this creature that he had. So it was later the time, which is weird because the only good quality Theon has is that he's a hunter slayer. Exactly.
Right. Exactly.
So like, no, you had sense. No sense of direction in that moment. Leslie in the comments, who's not here but is in Vegas drunk on the craps table, said, which is weird because the only good quality Theon has is that he's a hunter slash tracker. So like, nigga, at no point did you know he was taking you right back to where the fuck you came from, dog. Like,
that's what I'm saying. He was so caught up in his own mess. You not even using the main thing you good at. Like, he just was a hot mess.
No, not main, the only.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's dumb ass Theon.
Dumb ass.
And wound up right back at square zero.
Samantha says, slow just like the Starks that raised him.
Ha ha ha! Boom, man. Get off them wolves, man. Get off them
wolves. But you know, slow people be having some really smart kids sometimes. So
sometimes.
I guess Aria. We got Aria.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the next scene, which this might have been one of my favorite moments just because I like Brienne in this moment. Man. So Jamie is they done dog Jamie out, gave him horse pee to drink, puts them all down in the mud. So he's real low right now.
This nigga's broken.
He is broken.
Quite is.
Brienne trying to like help him. She trying to talk to him. She's like, you know, get your life. And Jamie basically comes at her like, they took my hand. I am that hand.
Right.
And this is where it went left. Brienne said, you bitching up right now. You have to make a little beat.
Listen, I got it in my notes just like that. I swear to in my notes, I got Jamie and I got a death emoji. And then I got Brienne. You look bitch.
That's a real bitch right now. Like she was like, you get a, this is the real world you in, son. Like we do this every day. You
Samantha, I felt, Samantha said
your
she
daddy.
Felt, man. Samantha said she felt bad for Jamie. I did too until I rethought about the fact that he pushed a fucking 10-year-old out a window. And I was like, fuck Jamie. So there's that.
But the thing is that she called him out in that scene. That was one of my
favorite moments. He had to.
It's self-preservation. Like she wanted to survive too. And you can't be over here ready to die.
Look, she said, what are you doing? Jamie said, dying. His ass was over there like this. Jamie had looked like Charles when an old girl pushed his ass in that damn tub. He was blowing them bubbles.
Oh! A Diary of a Mad Black Woman.
Yeah.
Oh, Jamie was dumb for that baby. Man. Was Jesus.
She said, eat the bread.
Man, he just wanted to lay there and die. That boy said, fuck, I ain't got my hand. Fuck y'all. What's that hand? They broke him real quick. He went from my father to just let me die, y'all. Just let me
die. Hey, that acting though, him one day to the next, that was top tier.
Bodied that shit.
You really felt like he was, you really did feel bad for him. Like,
damn. He made you. That's saying, like, I feel what Samantha was saying. Like, in that moment, he really made you, like, pity him. And then it's like, man, your crooked ass, fuck you.
Right.
Your privileged ass.
Right. Right, ain't it? Ain't that really how the privilege be acting? Like, get one
got
look?
That bitch hanging around his neck. That was hanging.
Oh no!
They couldn't even just let him walk around with the stub. They had to hang that stinking ass hand around his neck. Ugh. I know it stank too.
That's what I said earlier.
That's making my stomach hurt.
Oh my god!
So. We go on to Cersei and Tywin. This was a good conversation, too.
Hold on. Emily is dumb. Emily said...
Samantha.
I'm with you on that one. I add them to my bath water because it makes me stay young. So...
God. Wow.
Damn.
Wow. I'm just saying...
But that's for another day. Wait a minute. Wait.
Oh yeah, that's way.
Yeah.
She did have a little role.
She did. She had on a house coat. She was crying.
He was trying to seduce my boy.
We can get into that speculation later.
That ain't no speculation. Everybody done seen it. We ain't revealing nothing to nobody.
There's some speculation about something that possibly could be in the Jon Snow series.
Okay.
That might be a result of him leaving her in her house coat.
Okay.
You think she got pregnant?
Okay.
Oh.
We'll leave that right there. We'll let that bake for a little bit.
Okay.
We'll let that bake. That ain't no problem.
Okay, so let's go to Cersei and Tywin. Somebody pick that up.
Where we at? What's
She's coming off of this conversation with Olena. She's feeling a way that men are always preferred when she feels like she's just as bad in the game as they are. Fair. And so she comes at Tywin on some old, you always favoring them jokers, but I'm the one who really got your back. Like, I'm the one out here moving these chess pieces. Why you don't ever, like, listen to what I got to say? And Tywin was looking at her like,
the shit was funny because, like, what's funny because he does all his children the same way. Whatever Tywin is doing at the time that he has this conversation with his kids, he continues doing this shit. And then he starts talking when he's ready. I always love that part. So he's just sitting there in this awkward silence. And she looks like a fucking 3-year-old daughter waiting to ask her dad for something. I thought that was funny, that dynamic just in general. It's just like Tywin imposes this on everybody in this series. Nobody in this series is exempt from Tywin's will and him just fucking being Tywin. But I like
get him. Bro, get him.
Don't pop no more. This nigga Leslie in the comments talking about what, but stop. Man, I can't even do this no more. I don't even know. But Tywin's ass.
I'm gonna let that go on his drunk ass. I'm gonna let that just
So the first thing he says cracks me up. He basically says to her, because she coming in with that heat, talking about what you doing to save my brother. And he's like, if I did all of that to save Tyrion, little sawed off ass, fast. You got to know I'm already trying to, like, why is you in here? Why is you in here?
That's why are you asking? Why are you questioning
look,
me?
Look, after he said that shit, he looked up and kept writing, like, damn, are you still here? What?
Right. Yeah. Damn. And then she's trying to double talk to Tyrells and Marjorie seems to have an undue influence over Joffrey, and
But she knows, and again, we coming later that where her mind is as far as like her replacement. She already on this little bitch trying to replace me. So you know it's immediate competition for Cersei, and us knowing who Cersei is as a person, Cersei is the queen, Cersei is a fucking Lannister, Baratheon, whatever the fuck her crooked ass last name is. We know like she wasn't gonna take well to any type of competition with a younger bride that could be perceived by some and or most as prettier. And we know that's something that Cersei's always been worried about. But also in that moment, I like that we see something going on. Once again, the most dangerous weapon in the entire Seven Kingdoms is taking place. Tywin's fucking letters. This motherfucker, you see it, that motherfucker sealed one and went right to another one. Like, the whole time he's sitting there having this conversation, his ass with that damn quill and ink, like, the entire time. Wait. So, that's just one of those things.
Let's call back to that conversation with Varys and Tyrion. What was one of the lines he said? He said, I have always found it's more secrets, or what did he say? Not secrets.
What was it? More like
to find out more about somebody than what's in their letters than what's in something else.
Exactly.
So that tied directly to that.
Exactly. Just the fact that, man, that man can send out a letter and put it on one of them damn ravens and you don't know what orders are being sent out. We don't know what hits are being made, but trust and believe, somebody getting touched.
Mm-hmm. He's lethal with it, though. He's smooth.
But the best thing in that scene is when Tywin said, you aren't as smart as you think you are.
Yeah, that was it.
Had to put it in place.
Crack all of it.
Mm-hmm. That was, man, he put all of his, all them cheerings and get put in their place when they fuck around with Tywin. All them chillings.
But I know he be like, I birthed a bunch of idiots. Like, they all just stupid. Man. That's how he be like.
Individual reasons for, like, he hates Jaime because Jaime is basically in the King's Guard. He hates Cersei because Cersei is a woman and, like, you know Tywin feels like women are useless. He hates Tyrion because Tyrion is a fucking dwarf. Like, he has these reasons to dislike his children. It's just fucking Tywin. That nigga's died. Talk about diabolical. That's the most diabolical motherfucker that ever lived.
I wonder how he treated his wife.
It's a good question. I think they speak about it briefly in one of the books, but it's when you think about how he treats Tyrion because of Tyrion killing his wife at birth, it leads you to believe there was some love and passion and affection. That could have hardened him even more. We know
that's what I was gonna say. Maybe that's why he's so hard. He's bitter.
Yeah, and we know he was like from the book and some of the stories that they told about him, you know, as a young man, we know he was a very hard, I mean, even as a teenager, he was doing a lot of the same shit that he's doing now as far as literally wiping out families. But I'm sure losing his wife, that definitely hardened him some more.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
He's the man called Otto.
So now we move on to Olenna sitting in that little rotunda. I don't know what else to call it with her granddaughters. She don't suffer no fools. She was talking to them straight crazy. I was like, God, dog, grandma.
Girl, fuck. You say, girl, say we had a house of roses. I don't want to see another goddamn rose, little girl.
She basically told that girl, give a fuck about them roses.
And that girl, she was working just as hard as she could to sew, you know, her little
grandma.
Grandma, like, no, I don't want that shit there. She said they put a rose on my chamber pot, and that don't make it smell no better, baby.
Damn. You know she talks to him like that all the time because it didn't faze girl. She was just
yeah, so it just went like and right over here.
Yep.
They're used to the abuse.
Facts. Bigly. Bigly. And then we see what we see we get Verse coming up, and they had their little
it's a big Verse episode.
This is a really big Verse episode. It's a lot of Verse.
And she basically was like, I see your ass slinking around out there. Then he's talking about, can I sit? She's talking about, no.
Nope.
Like, what the hell are you
talking about? Bruh, which just shows, like, as petty as we talk about Varys being, like, Olenna is the queen. She's literally the queen of petty. And again, we know this from events later down the line. But yeah. Olenna is literally the queen of petty. All of that was, she just wanted to fuck with him upon his arrival. Oh, I heard you was clever. So, you know, she on that. I want to see how clever you are. She, Olenna, you can tell she enjoys the game. She enjoys the Game of Thrones.
Yes, she
enjoys the banter. She enjoys the back and forth. But she also relishes in those moments to be able to take advantage of the opportunities that Varys brought her. So, of course, Varys speaks with her in the garden of what he learned from Roz about Littlefinger and the feather beds. And I like one of the things that was said in that moment where Olenna is like, you must really hate Littlefinger to be doing all of this to undermine him. And Varys is like, no, I actually really admire him. I admire his ambition, but
he'll burn his shit down.
He'll burn his motherfucker down if he could be king of the ashes.
And I can't let him do that.
Yeah, and I thought that was real. And again, it's just one of those things that really shows you who, in that moment, who Varys is. It shows you a lot about Little. Even though we know Littlefinger is conniving and cunning and manipulative, I don't think we really know the extent of what he could possibly be capable of until that moment when we hear Varys say that shit. And then we kind of see a little bit more about Olenna. She really don't give a fuck what they got going on. She was just ready to be there to take advantage. Oh, okay, you got a good high name girl that you can marry my family to and make my family stronger. Bet I'm game. What's up?
And so it's interesting to see the lengths that both of them will go to, but it's like Littlefinger's, it's definitely selfish. It's driven by self and trying to promote himself.
Absolutely.
And Verse, while he does pull some stuff, he has always maintained it's for the good of the realm.
And he's saying that, it usually feels like it. Like it usually genuinely feels like Varys's intentions are all about the people, whether it's people of King's Landing, the entire Seven Kingdoms, whatever. His intentions always seem to be centered back around what he actually says, which don't always see that in this fucking series.
Right. Mm-hmm. I thought in that scene, the funniest thing that Olenna said.
I know what you're about to say. Because it was my favorite line.
What happens when the non-existent bumps up against the decrepit?
Hey,
did you
see Varys? When she said it, Varys said, why did he, nigga? You knew it wasn't there. Why did Varys look down like he just found out he'd had dick and balls? That nigga Varys said.
You ain't have to go come to me like that.
He couldn't believe she went there on his ass. That nigga Varys, like, you old bitch. That's why he's ready to go. Oh, I thought we had a common interest, but I'll go. That nigga was ready to go. She told him, man, sit your punk ass down. I was fucking with you.
Do you think his interest in protecting Sansa what is his real interest in that?
Again, I think he genuinely was thinking about the fact that, again, Littlefinger had already acquired a castle. He had already acquired, like, this fucking, the veil now through this betrothal mm-hmm. that he had with Lady Erin. So we know an army is coming. So Varys in that moment is thinking, if he gets Sansa and Robb Stark is killed during this war, that's who inherits the North. So he will inherit the North through Sansa. So imagine this nigga with the veil, Harrenhal, the entire North. So I think in that moment, Varys is literally just looking at, and could some of that be about Sansa? Yes, maybe. I think it was more about Littlefinger and him not gaining more power in Varys' eyes.
I think a little bit is vengeance. He can't stand Littlefinger. Can't stand him.
Yeah, and why let and it's one of them, why let him do this? Why him? You know, and Varys doesn't necessarily want to seize that power for himself, but he don't want to see Littlefinger with that shit either.
Right.
Okay, now coming right off of that, we go into Margaery over there trying to cuddle up with Sansa, and I'm trying to figure out what is her angle. What is her end game? Does she really care for Sansa because she sees her as like this little sheep, or what is her real interest in?
Margaery has the same, to me, she has the same goal. She wants to control the North. And if Sansa is with her brother, then they have control over the North.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
I don't even think it. I mean, yeah, I think it's about that too. But I just think it's more about that loyalty to her family and, of course, her grandmother. So if grandma sent me on this mission, if we need to bring this girl into the fold, she's already done a little bit to make friends with Sansa as far as trying to talk to her and speak to her and treat her as a sister while they watch her being landed. I think it was one of those things where she just took that initiative or coming from her grandmother telling her to go say, hey, we need to bring this girl into the fold. And yes, that's the it. Either way you look at it, wherever Sansa goes, it would strengthen whichever house. And I think that was the biggest thing. So we see this literal tug of war with this human about trying to seize that power of the North. And we see it between different factions, different families. You got all these different people involved. And the end game is literally like your grace there said, power. It's the North. Who gets to control the North at the end of all of this?
Right.
And Sansa has no clue she's such a pawn. She's so ding dong.
He has no idea.
Look, that's what
familiar connection that she lost. Fact. So she's so hungry for that familiar connection that she lost. Mm-hmm. Fact. And for people to be nice to her again, because she is sick as fuck of Joffrey.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he just fucks with her just to fuck with her. Yeah. You know?
Oh, and, wait, Ray Ray said something good.
What?
She doesn't give a fuck about Sansa because she's selling her marriage dreams, and the whole time she's setting her up with a gay man.
That's a message.
Right there. But that shit was funny. That was it. You see one of those moments where Margaery is again throwing shade at Cersei, because Sansa is like, well, you know, the queen will never let me go to Highgard. Margaery said,
like, the who?
The queen regent.
I'm the queen.
Because when we get married, I'll be queen. No, bitch, that bitch ain't the queen. No, I'm like, damn, boy, she stay shading Cersei ass. That shit gonna come back to bite her, too.
It is.
She wanted to marry the shit out of Loras, but that was an attractive offer to Sansa, because that's who Sansa wanted Loras in season one when we saw that the tournament with when King Robert was still alive,
one he didn't remember her in.
Yeah, so that was like, that was right up her fucking alley to hear. Oh, I can A, get away from Joffrey, B, get away from the queen, C, get away from King's Landing, and marry this nigga that I wanted anyway, that I apparently don't know is gay, but you know.
Because she doesn't have any life experience.
None.
Right.
None.
Right.
They're cooped up in that North. She learned quick, though. She learned real quick.
Yeah. She's still on that upward learning curve. She's about halfway
I don't even know if she's halfway there. She got some struggles to go through in a little bit.
Yeah.
Woo. See, well, that's what's going to get it to the top.
That was rough.
Facts.
Like, I'm not looking forward to that season at all.
Yeah.
So now let's go back to Craster them.
This is honestly one of my favorite moments, and I hated it for what transpired, but it's just such a Game of Thrones does such a good job with these scenes and like just getting you attached to these people and then just ripping them away from you. And so like the scene was so powerful in that, again, we have been seeing the build up from jump. After scraping up pig shit when we first get into the episode, they talking shit when we get back there, you know what I'm saying, about the food and being hungry and we're starving.
Drinking our wine.
And at this point, when they get back, this is when they got the guy on the pyre, right? This is where they're burning one of their own at this point, yeah. Right? This is the actual, now his watch is ended moment, the actual name of the episode, which is what they say when they burn one of their own. Which it was funny in that moment, too, because Lord Commander just trying to come up with some nice words to say about this nigga. He don't bit more. Well, this nigga was from again. he was from down White Harbor way, my lord. He came to us from White Harbor way. That nigga was good at riding horses and shit. But yeah, we'll never see his like again. Now his wife's in his job. And even in that moment, you could tell, like, you know, they still complaining about the food. You got one of them talking about how good the damn body smell because they just hungry out there.
That one took me.
That boy said, I did not know he could smell so good.
Ed and Pip cracked me up. They just
every time they always got.
Like, oh man, is that bad out there? Like the burning body making you hungry, man. Like but God damn,
right?
Ain't nobody got no jerky or nothing.
that boy was giving them sawdust with bread.
Y'all got some jerky.
So they come in from burning old boy and they still sore about that thing. And Cressa started talking shit. Cressa's like, half y'all motherfuckers dead anyway. Like, y'all need to go to hell home.
Right. Go on, get up out of here now.
And Lord Commander's like, we can't leave. They sick and they ain't gonna get better. So leave them here if you want to. I'll kill them. So they was like, oh, hell no. Like, you gonna let him talk to us like that? Like, he's sitting here eating food, drinking our wine. And you just gonna let him do that, Lord Commander? So things start shifting. And somebody pick it up from there.
I mean, you could just tell he had lost him. You could see it. He had lost, at minimum, he had lost the men that were still there with him beyond the wall. He hadn't lost the whole watch, but he lost enough of those men for there to be mutiny there. But I like that moment. And I forget Buddy's name, the one from, the dude that was cold with the knives. But, like, it's funny because when you really see him, it's like we hadn't really seen him say too much before up to this point. So when he started talking that shit, it's like, damn, little buddy is really – he really want to go with Craster right now. He said – and Craster made all his threats, told him anybody else called me a bastard, I'd take his hand and all this shit with his axe and, you know, got big and tough. Buddy say – but you are a bastard.
You are a bastard.
You say you are a daughter fucking wildling bastard. I say, yeah, it's about to be some smoke in this bitch. And then it starts going down.
You know pop off.
Man, it popped all the way off. But even in that moment, I ain't think the nigga was going to go off on Lord Commander. I'm like, no, they didn't say it. Then this little
fat
thief one, little punk ass one, shank him in the back, and Lord Commander Slick was about to take him out, and then the blood and the internal bleeding and shit just got to him, but Lord Commander almost choked him out even with all that shit going on.
Hey, your drunk ass in Las Vegas.
Somebody please read the comment.
Leslie said, Creston Keith is an Atlanta club low key. He got hoes. He's sitting in the VIP talking down to other niggas. Niggas start fighting.
All of that. Accurate.
Yes, very accurate.
As fuck.
I felt some way about them taking out Lord Commander, though.
Yeah, that hurt.
Yeah. And then, of course, we see old Saber Host. Sam got to go
Sam
run.
Sam ain't even worried about the brothers with a nice watch. She's like, I'm about to go get my boo and get this baby and get the hell out of here.
Sam didn't move that fast when the fucking White Walkers was coming.
Right. That part. But
all of a sudden, this nigga's awareness is on 99. This nigga's running, picks up a sword, sheaths the sword while he's running perfectly, gets Gilly. I'm like, this Nigga, hey, so it's been real, it all goes down to the motivation.
What is the motivation?
He put some stank on his voice too. He said, "Come on, girl."
Man, I'm like, so it's been a real nigga in there all the time. You just needed the prospect.
He needed the right motivation.
That boy got the prospect of getting just the tiniest little bit of coochie, and his ass got to moving.
But you done seen her coochie while I was giving birth, and now you excited.
Oh my God! In heaven.
Why are you excited over that, sir?
That was not excitement.
That's how Sam was.
That was my God. Why did we just go there?
That's called don't look. You don't look.
Well, he ain't never seen it before. He ain't. It ain't matter to him. Look, it was a whole baby coming out of it. Hey, he ain't never seen it.
Listen, that boy Sam in them books. Let Sam tell that. He probably put that in one of his memoirs. He probably wrote that shit out in one of them damn books at the Citadel when he got there.
Oh my God,
Jamila. Talk about one thing about a hoe. She gonna get saved if Sam got anything to do with it.
Oh my God. Listen. I think we skipped early in the episode when he at first went out there to talk to her when they got back and she gave him back his little thimble. And she like, I don't need this shit, nigga. You don't be everything. I need a real nigga to step to me, nigga. You got to
save my baby. That's what I want.
I'm like, damn, she hit it. She hit him with
that. What am I going to do with this damn thimble, Sam? This ain't saving my baby.
She told that boy he needed to hit the Cash App or something to take her out. Mm-hmm. She said, get out my DMs. She told that boy, get out some DMs. You hear me?
This is why we can't have nice things. Okay.
Is it just me, or is like the brotherhood without banner so pointless in the show? They have way more meaning in the book. And it's so pointless. Yeah. I mean, I get it in this moment, you know, what we see when they make it back to their little home or spot or cave or coven or hideout, whatever the fuck you call it. But it's just like it just don't seem like it moves the story along. It's just like, okay, here's this man. And I get it. We eventually get, you know, the Hound and you know what we get from that with Arya. But God, when they split to that scene and they walking up with her, I'm just like, God, I'm about to fast forward this shit. It was pointless.
Well, it was interesting to me, like the same theory that we see in the criminal justice system, like you gonna kill him because he a killer. Like what? Yeah. So you the ones get to decide who's meeting out justice here.
And that's what the Hound was on. The Hound was like, okay, if you gonna cut my throat, but don't murder me and claim that you're not the same. And I felt right. It was funny because they was really on, like you said, they was really on some criminal justice shit because they were trying to pin him for shit that he. Hound was like, man, nigga, I wasn't even there. I ain't touched. Yeah. Hound said, I ain't touched them babies. I wasn't over there raping bitches where y'all was talking about rape. Like, I ain't do none of that shit.
Yeah. And then Arya was like, but you killed my homeboy though.
And they jumped right on. They were so eager to get his ass for somebody's murder. They said, listen, right. my boy, you murdered somebody.
Right. Right. We gonna kill you because you murdered somebody.
That nigga the Hound said, is being Clegane a crime? Shit, apparently so, my boy. The mountain got you fucked up out here in these streets because you can't do shit.
Right.
Which was funny because it's really like, okay, y'all caught him, but y'all really just trying to do this to him because y'all can't fuck with the mountain. Which that's right. What I deducted from that shit. Y'all really scared of the mountain. Because if y'all was really about their life, like talking about y'all really be out there getting the person that did this shit.
Kind of like they do.
I'm with Ray Ray too.
Yeah.
I'm like, why the fuck would they say battle by combat? They don't know who this nigga is.
But again, in the book, Beric Dondarrion is that nigga. So like even on the show, when you see when he was like, you know, who am I going to fight? Is it going to be you? Is it going to be you? When Beric Dondarrion is like, you fight me. You even see like, what seems to look like a little bit of fear on the face of the Hound, because again, in the book, Beric Dondarrion is really that nigga is him. So, right, one of these fucking charges gonna stick, nigga. Yeah. On me. Leslie in the comments.
Oh, now we're gonna be all lucid and shit.
Drunk Leslie is pretty poignant.
Nigga. Facts.
Leslie can hold his liquor.
So now I got a point. He told him, but my brother's still alive though. Y'all mad and trying to get some get back, but
right.
He's still out here. So what is you right. doing?
Uh-oh, TK internet.
Could I even want that smoke?
Oh Lord, me?
No. Little light skin down there, little light skin hop hop.
So this is this. Now remember, this is the second appearance of Beric Dondarrion. Now, when we first saw him, he had two eyes and no scars, and now he tore up from the flow up for a damn show.
And you know who took that goddamn eye?
Yeah,
the nigga that they trying to kill the hound for. They don't want that smart nigga. That nigga took my eye. I'm gonna just kill his brother, y'all. And niggas don't want no smoke with the mouth.
Oh God, Leslie in Vegas drafting the hound's habeas motion. Oh shit.
What up, CJ?
Hey CJ.
What up, yep.
So, all right, we get past the scene with the Brotherhood without banners, whoever these people are. And we go to the shop. You said what?
Baywatch.
Oh God.
We go to one of my favorite moments with the mother of motherfucking dragons.
Hell yeah.
Carlton's face literally just lit up.
Mm. Man, I was there like, talk your shit, girl.
Did y'all see them walk in together all cute and shit? I just kinda hate, you know, Khaleesi made Missandei put the titties up. But it's cool. I get it. Woman empowerment. I get it. Craster was all exploitation. She's all woman empowerment. I get it. But damn, boy, Missandei fine ass. Lord. Anyway though, man, when they walk in, Craster's ass still talking that shit. And I'm like, bro, at this point, I watching it like for the second, third, and fourth time, it's like, man. I really want her to just right now to be like, nigga, shut up. But you know what's coming. So you know she like finna get his ass back. But that nigga does not stop talking.
Wait, with everybody's face when she starts speaking, everybody's like,
Man. You speak? And look, that very last time when she made the handoff with Drogon's little bad silver cap teeth ass, which that's what was funny about the whole shit, because they really thought they was, oh, I want the biggest dragon. She was like, right. Done. Cause she already knew her bad. She know her badass son. This nigga ain't going. That badass nigga ain't going. You want the biggest one? Bet we gonna see if you can hold it. So she hand this nigga off, and Crassus ass is like, "Oh yeah, the bitch has the whip. The army is hers." And she hit his ass with one last look. That's the last bitch I'm gonna be today, my nigga. That face she hit him with. Yeah. I was like, "Ooh."
Hold on, Carlton. Hold on. Jeff Dunn. Yeah. Popped in the comments. He been on here the whole time and ain't said a word. Oh God, I love Danny.
Hey, God, I love Danny too, my.
Oh God,
that nigga had that. She just went through my phone.
See, I can't.
Nigga Larry.
So, like you said, Valerian. He said, bitch, one too many times. She had enough.
For the last time, my nigga. This the last time you're going to pop off at me like that.
She let him get the dragon. She got that little whatever you want to call the thing. And she started talking to him.
And then it's funny because it's so much going like, he's still over here trying to control this dragon. So it's only like two or three people even paying attention to Danny. It's like Missandei. Yeah. And I don't even think Jorah a little bit, but Barristan was really looking, you know. And she start making the commands, and like you said, everybody was like,
"Oh, wait a goddamn minute!"
Oh, yeah,
fuck.
The Unsullied were paying attention to her,
and that's when you know she crashed and spit that line, you know, tell the bitch her dragon won't or her beat the beast won't come. And she turned around and hit him with what could be arguably one of the most iconic lines in the whole shit, nigga. Dragon is not a slave. That nigga say, you speak Valyrian, eh?
She's like, bitch, that's my mother tongue.
How did none of you niggas, it's like, bro, the Targaryens are from old Valyria. You didn't think it.
You ain't do your research, homie.
Man, at all, you didn't do none of your homework, and she say that shit, and Missandei hit him with a little smirk, like, because she knows in that moment what nobody else But her and him and the rest of them that speaks Valyrian knows is he been talking shit for
the
days.
Entire time.
So she like, and that's what
a long time.
Because Masande is like, oh, it's almost like it came together. Like, okay, that's why she wanted me. She knew I was swapping the words out and shit the whole time. Like, so
yeah.
But also she know this nigga been talking shit. And now you finna get fucked up. Man, when she hit that nigga with that Jakaris nigga, I don't care how many times I watched that shit. I got 1 foot. I was on 1 foot this morning, kicking shit over with the good foot. Man, I'm telling you, that's like, I think hands down, I think that's my favorite scene, like overall from like the whole. Yeah. I don't think another.
And I like the part at the end where she, after she asked the Unsullied, will they fight for her?
That shit was so.
And then she dropped the thing.
Man, and then they walk over the shit, and then you get the overhead shot of the entire. At this point, she's got two generals. So she's got Jorah, she's got Barristan. She's got now three dragons who are growing larger every day, and now she has an army 8,000 strong. At this point, like season 3, episode 4, I'm not gonna say it was peak Dany because she still obviously she gets more powerful. My strong ass foot, my nigga. But like, this was one of the most powerful moments in the whole shit for anybody like playing the Game of Thrones as far as their chess pieces. Like for her, from where she was at before this happened, and like where she was at literally immediately after, it was like, okay, she's unfuckwittable at this point. Like, what you gonna do?
Yeah. So. You know, but this is really when she really starts owning her power and understanding things. So she has built all of this with her advisor. You know, she took this advice, took that advice, learned this lesson, learned this hard lesson. And so she has, you know, really started to formulate things and think about things. So she let Krasnus greed take him where he wanted to go, and that motherfucker wound up as barbecued bits. So there you go.
Ashley talking about she Uno out on that nigga.
Oh my god.
She Uno all the way out.
Really?
Man, Drogon, little badass flame that nigga up, then that nigga went along the whole wall and just ran everybody down.
Yeah.
Fucking like, Unsullied, slaying all the masters. They was tearing them niggas up. Look, Barristan pulled his little sword out. He didn't even have to cut no. He didn't know what was going on. Let me pull my goddamn sword out. Lemon pepper wick, goddamn Samantha.
So to me, this scene is one of the biggest fuck around and find out moments.
Fuck around and find it out.
Ever.
Yeah. In any show ever.
In any show. Yeah. And I'm fixing to go watch the end of Succession tonight because somebody finna fuck around and find out.
Oh no! Don't tell me. Yes. I'm on season two right now.
It's on right now.
I'm on season two though. Don't say nothing.
Don't say nothing.
I'm on season. I gotta get started on that one. Oh my god!
Yeah, the series finale is tonight, so y'all need to catch up on that shit. But anyway, that's
Up on it. I watched this one from the beginning and kept up with it. So Succession is a good show.
I just started when y'all were talking about a few weeks ago. Get on board, Carlton.
Yeah, I'm gay. I'm probably gonna watch
one. You'll like the pettiness of the writing. Will Ferrell is an idiot.
I'm gonna check it out. got the drugs, and she got the dope and the money, my boy.
Yeah.
Facts.
Yeah, she's queen of the South. Yeah.
Man.
Oh, somebody, what do you say, Succession Pod, anyone?
I catch up and get on with you.
Catch up.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, it was another great episode. Wait, what'd you say?
Leslie's A1 at holding his liquor.
The night is still young in Vegas. It's 3 hours behind.
Right.
So he probably just got started.
He got
the
time.
The night is dark and full of terrors in Vegas too. So you be safe, Leslie.
You're a pray to the Lord of Light, my nigga.
Oh, well, it was another great review. Season 3, episode 4. We'll be back next week with episode 5. And look, y'all. Thank you. I'm a pro. Also, help me. We can't help you, bro.
Nah, bro. You on your own.
We'll put something on your books if you got to go
down. Oh, not on the books.
You bet not. He's smarter than
that. That's all I can do for you, man.
Baby mama, cut it.
Right. I'm about to go. Let's go, yo.
Not a divorce, Rod.
We'll holler at y'all motherfuckers next week. Thank you for tuning in. Goddamn Samantha. Thank y'all for tuning in. We'll catch y'all next week.
How do I leave this motherfucker?
How do I leave this motherfucker?
Peace.
Bye.